Excited now to have Alemma Harrington join the show, the host of Jazz Game Night, KSL alumni, former BYU football player. I could go on and on, Alemma. So many things I could use to introduce you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Hey, Alemma, first thing I have to do this. I have to give you a shout out and a thank you. If you remember back in the day when you were at 960 with your show, you used to have me on every week. And I was young in the radio game at that point, just, you know, I was just making guest appearances, and having me come on every week gave me an opportunity to get better at it and learn it. And now I'm in the fortunate situation where I'm co-hosting a radio show, and Alemma, I got to thank you for that because you gave me opportunities you probably didn't even notice or recognize. So thank you, Alemma.
Well, that's awesome. And I think we all have, you know, found ourselves in those situations. I can say the same thing for Craig Bowlerjack, who embraced me when I came into this market at Channel 5 in 96 and just very graciously allowed this kid from Hawaii who only had a year and a half of broadcast experience to get into the business. And that leadership trickles down. And so I look at the guys that we have in our market, and we have a good group of talent and people that care about the market and the teams, from the Jazz to the college teams to the high school ranks. And you're very familiar with all of that. So appreciate the contribution you're making.
Thanks, Alemma. Let's break things down in this season overall. Again, congratulations on another season. You and Mike Smith in the studio, that is a grind. And this year has been definitely different. How would you describe this Jazz season as you have a chance to kind of big picture look back on what it was? It wasn't easy for everybody, but it certainly was necessary as they try to get to becoming a championship team.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing for me, and I speak to a degree for Mike, you know, I don't speak for him, completely, but, and Mike, you understand that he's coming from 19 years of calling Clippers games when they were not good. And I've had a couple of seasons in my 15 years on that desk where we had some rough seasons, weren't making the playoffs, and, it's been hard. And we went through, obviously, that final stretch, losing 13 in a row before going 2-2 to finish out the season. And when you're recapping a game after another loss, then, you know, it becomes tedious and hard, and you're trying to find storylines and positives. But it was easier for us this year than any time in my past experience. And I, you know, Mike Smith, the same, in part because of the ownership and the people that were surrounding us, and including Will Hardy. And as you've been talking about, you know, what he's had to go through in this season, it's so challenging as a relatively new head coach, new last year, second year this year, and to have all of the challenges that come your way, but handle it with grace. And it's real easy. And we see this outside of our market. It's real easy when you have spells like that, regardless if people understand that, okay, this is a process and this is a journey and this is part of it. It's really hard to keep the fan base and to keep your locker room. And Will Hardy did a masterful job, in my opinion, of being able to maintain the locker room. And that doesn't just happen with Will. It goes up to Justin and Danny and to Jim Olsen and, of course, to Ryan Smith and the ownership group, that they're able to establish a culture where you can take your lumps and still be able to power forward with, you know, some grit and believe that you guys are all in this together. Because it's so easy, man, to get a fractured locker room. And when that happens, man, it can get really ugly. And it never got ugly. And I was just talking with my brother earlier today. We're getting ready to do a presentation over at Sky Ridge High School tomorrow morning. We're talking about winning cultures and this year, one of the themes was show love. And I don't know if this kind of, you know, comes from organically kind of grew out of Jordan Clarkson and kind of his mindset mentality. But he is the, you know, the only holdover from the Quinn Snyder era. Mm. And you got a guy that just is he's a fan favorite. He's an exciting player to watch. And when you have that kind of veteran leadership that is making sure that everybody understands that we're all in this together, it makes it a little bit easier. It's always hard when you go through losing seasons. It's not certainly not the journey that you want. This is not the part of the journey you want to be on. Everybody wants to be on the part where you're making the playoffs and there's all kinds of stuff going on and excitement. But they were able to do it in a year, this year, where, you know, the hope was that you were going to kind of flip your win-loss record from last year and be in the postseason. But you can't accelerate the process. And I think we all understood that. So for Mike, myself, Bowler, Big T, Holly, I think we were all understanding and on board and supported in the process of, okay, this is a journey. We're looking at other storylines, which we know. And there are so many positive storylines to focus on this year, from the rookies to the triple-double streak being or the lack of one being broken. And just, you know, there are so many things that were part of this year that made it easier for us. Because I've been through hard years where I was looking, and Thurl Bailey was my partner at the time, and we'd be looking at each other and it's like, man, we need to get a win here. And, you know, this year was a joy, even in those doldrums when, you know, we were losing 13 in a row. So it's, you know, it's been an enjoyable year in spite of the record.
Yeah. Hey, Lema, this is Sly. It's good to talk to
you.
What's
up, Sly?
Nothing much, brother. Nothing much. So, I mean, hearing what you're saying and understanding that you've seen these bad years and you've taken stuff from it, if you could put your GM coaching, your kind of analyzing hat on right now, what are some of those things that you took from this year that you can see in next year? I know that off-season things need to happen. There are potential trades, pickups, et cetera, with the draft. Yeah. But, you know, when I've talked to coaches before, there's little things. I mean, you've talked about Will Hardy keeping a good locker room, the players staying intact, the triple-double aspect, alongside with the negatives that have gone on this year. What are some of the things that you feel confident in going into this next season that gives you hope?
Well, the thing that I mentioned, which is culture, right? Culture is a big deal. And I've been around this team for a long time. It's why you understand this, having played in the NFL, that different franchises you go to and they operate differently, man. Mm-hmm. And you can go from one franchise that is, you know, kind
got
of broken, right? And the other one that man, they seem like they got it together. Mm-hmm. And when Ryan Smith came in, and the Millers did a fantastic job, but when Ryan Smith came in and he took a look around, and part of this happened during the Quinn Snyder era, man, we revamped our practice facility. I was covering this team when they were practicing at Westminster. When I was at BYU, we were in the Smith Fieldhouse. That's where our locker room was. We won a national championship with those facilities. The Jazz got to the NBA Finals twice, practicing at Westminster. So it's not all about that, but there's something to be said, and I think it's even maybe more so this generation of athletes, when they're looking at a franchise and whether or not it's attractive, the win-losses are important, but how does the management treat their players? Like, what kind of facilities do they have? What kind of access do they have to different, you know, things that will make them better players? And they feel that. They recognize that. Speaking of players, right, they recognize that. You understand?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, for me, when I'm looking at what has been established and what they can build on here, they already built the foundation. The foundation is culture. Mm-hmm. And the culture has got to be a winning culture. And what does that mean exactly? Well, it means that you care about your players, and they feel that. They know that. This is such an incredible community. You know, at the last home game, which was, you know, nice to have a win against the Houston Rockets, if you were in that arena, man, it felt like this was a playoff game. And what we're talking about, they had lost 13 straight, and they're trying to figure out, okay, this is the last game. How many people are going to show up? I think it's 292 straight sellouts for the Utah Jazz.
Nice.
This community is unbelievable. And the way that Will and the players, the team, they have embraced the community and the community embraces them, you know, that's something you continue to build on. And then understanding that you got to have a good culture in your locker room. And so you got three rookies that need developmental time, right? One of them got that pretty immediately, which was Keontae George. And then Taylor Hendricks and Sensabaugh, they spent their time in the G League. So it's really hard for a young player that has been a star from, you know, little league basketball to AAU to high school to 1 year of college. And then you come and you think, you know, you're a first round pick and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get my chance. And it takes time. So you have to be able to communicate with some compassion for those players that patience is going to be a part of this journey. And they did. They went down and they worked hard in the G League, continued to get development there. Mm-hmm. And then the last half of the season, all three of those rookies got significant playing time. So the development side of it will carry over for next year. And there'll be more draft picks this year. And you need to be able to evaluate your talent and understand, okay, who's going to be with us, who's going to be somebody that will move on. But all of that starts with the culture in that organization, right, at the ZBBC, Zions Basketball Campus. That culture just has to be someplace that feels positive. And again, I think that theme of show love was perfect for this franchise because they embraced that and really embodied that. And I think you continue to build on that mindset, that mentality, and in the process, because of what you're doing, you start to attract free agent talent. You start to be able to get players that don't get frustrated, or if they do, it's a short-lived, you know, experience where, okay, they get frustrated because that's a natural tendency for all of us as human beings, but you're able to move past that quickly. So what I see happening over the offseason, and even talking with some of the players before the end of the year this year, and they got media availability coming up tomorrow, so we'll get more information. But these guys are committed, man. They're set, and they'll know what they need to work on, both, you know, internally with themselves and then whatever the coaches and the staff ask them to work on. Mm-hmm. But I look at this group, and especially these three rookies, as guys that are willing to put in that work. And this year, you know, they stayed hungry. They stayed humble. They stayed coachable. And, you know, that's not always the case. You lose some guys and they might fall out of favor. They might fall out of the league. But if you got guys that are committed to the process and the journey, then that's an important part of this. And I would add to that, to have guys like a THT who gets relegated to the bench, but still is helping, you know, putting his arm around the guy that's taking his place on, you know, on the starting lineup and helping that guy. That's a beautiful thing. And you can say the same thing for Sexton and for Chris Dunn. These guys have been just invaluable from that regard in being able to keep this thing together as you go through, you know, the growing pains and the learning curves and all the things that are part of development, which is part of the journey that we're on right now.
Thanks, Alema. Appreciate it. Should be a very fascinating off season. Hopefully we can check in with you sometime soon as the stories develop and everything that the Jazz do this off season develops.
Yeah.
And obviously a big day tomorrow as we hear from Danny Ainge and Will Hardy. Alema, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Right.
Thanks,
that's Alema. The host of Jazz Game Night, Alema Harrington. Always a pleasure to catch up with Alema, one of the greats. We appreciate him.